Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and you're listening to bbsradio.com. And it's my pleasure to be here. I greet you with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. I greet you in peace. And I have a delightful show this evening. Well, I hope it's as delightful for you as it's going to be for me because of the person that I have as a guest. And I'll be introducing her momentarily. But first, I want to give you your appetizer for the evening. You know, I love to give you the appetizer before the main course. And this evening, my guest describes herself as a mystic. And when I think of mystics, I think of Rumi. I think of these poets that, like Khalil Gibran, Kafitz, people who they went beyond the normal, the normal experience of humans. And then, of course, Osho, who, you know, I've done many shows on, and tonight is no exception. We'll be probably talking a little bit about Osho tonight, too. You know, Osho also was a mystic. He was a person who saw things well beyond the realm of what the normal human sees. And the reason I'm bringing this up is not so you'll compare yourself to whether you're a mystic or not and make yourself a little bit crazy from listening to the show. It's more to say I wholeheartedly believe that with the practice of Tantra and the awakening that happens in the body, that's really, you know, it's unbeknownst to you until you do it. Because the truth is, I had no idea what was waiting for me when I embarked on Tantra, and I can truly say that all my senses have become heightened. All of my awareness is expanded. And the things, the coincidences, if you want to call it, that happen, or the miracles that happen, and the ability to be almost pre-conscious sometimes, meaning I know what's going to happen in my heart, in my being, and sometimes in my mind or my dreams before it happens, or I know something that I don't know why I know it. It's not anything I ever studied. It's nothing that I read a book about, and all of a sudden I know. I know it. And that's kind of a mystical experience. So I'm saying that as the appetizer for my show this evening. I can say to you with very little doubt that if you embark on a tantric path, you will start to have what could be called mystical experiences. At least your intuition will grow. I will say that. Your whole way of experiencing things on a much fuller level and knowing things with an inner wisdom that you never knew you had can happen to you on a tantric path. So that's my appetizer for this evening. Now, I want to just give you the numbers to call in so that if you're listening in tonight to my guest and I, you'll be able to call in and we'll take the call and we'd love to hear from you. So the call-in numbers in the U.S. and Canada are 888-228-4494 and worldwide 877-489-6350. And again, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. So I'm going to bring my guest on this evening. Let me tell you a little bit about her before I bring her on so you have a kind of sense who she is, but you don't, no matter what I tell you. She's more. Anyway, her name is Giovanna. She goes by Giovanna. Her full name is Giovanna Kennedy. She describes herself as a mystic and explorer in the realm of consciousness and conscious growth. For many years, she studied with Ken Kies Jr., the author of The Handbook to Higher Consciousness, The Hundredth Monkey, which hopefully you've read these books. I don't know if you have or not, but if you haven't, run right out. And he also wrote A Conscious Person's Guide to Relationships. In 1982, she was initiated as a disciple of the Indian Tantric Master, then known as Rajneesh, and of course now we all know him around the world as Osho. Giovanna has had a private practice teaching about Tantra and doing what she calls Tantric Healing Touch for the past 16 years. She works with men, women, and couples in person in Scottsdale, Arizona, and also by phone and the internet. So she's quite an amazing being. Please help me welcome her. Giovanna, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Giovanna. How great to have you on my show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be doing this with you.
Thank you. Well, I want to just tell people how we know each other, because I'll say that, and then we'll get right into, you know, how did you get where you are, you know? So I went to a tantric meetup group on Friday night last in Phoenix, Arizona, and the presenter that evening was Giovanna. And I walked in, and we met right away, and we connected. You know when you have a great connection with somebody? Well, we connected right off the bat, and then she presented a lovely, uplifting evening. And she said that she really mostly works with individuals, not so much with groups. So she was a little concerned, but I assured her that the evening was lovely, and it really, really was. She talked about her life, and we did some Osho Kundalini meditation, and we also did Ladi Han, you know, my favorite thing. So, Giovanna, thank you for that evening. I'm so glad we met. I feel like I've known you my entire life. And so let's find out what you've been doing in that life, like how it is that I say I've known you my entire life. How did you first start getting interested in Tantra, if you could remember?
Well, you know, I think Tantra is kind of a thing that it's like a soul drawing. You know, you don't know that you're attracted to that path, but even as a child, I was attracted to India and the Far East and that kind of energy. You know, a lot of people in America are attracted to the Native American paths and ways, but that wasn't my inclination. And I was always very sexually curious from the time I was very young. I was very, very curious about the body and very, very curious about energy and sex, you know, from a very young age, and I was always in trouble for it, and I was wondering why sex was such a dark thing to people, such a feared thing. You know, all my life it was a great curiosity to me, and well, you know, before when you were doing your introduction, you were talking about synchronicities and miracles. I want to share with you a little bit about the miracle of today, or the synchronicity of today.
Sure.
Today is my brother's birthday, and my brother committed suicide. He came home from Vietnam and committed suicide. And when he did that, I made a dedication to his life that I was going to find a way to help bring love onto this planet. It was it compelled me. I was so angry at war. I was so angry at the possibility that human beings could possibly want to destroy each other that I had to find answers. And so the fact that we're having this conversation today on my brother's birthday really gripped me the entire day today.
Mm. So we'll dedicate this show to your brother.
Thank you.
What's his name?
Robert Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy, okay.
yeah, and not, you know, another synchronicity of that is he was appointed to Annapolis by Senator Robert Kennedy.
Wow.
So anyway, that said, his death was the catalyst for me to go into consciousness growth. And so the first consciousness growth experience that I had was with Ken Kies at his institute in Kentucky. And it was there that a lot of the apprentices and the residents there were going over to India and saying, "My God, we've met this man who is the most remarkable man since Jesus Christ. He's going to change the nature of life on this planet." And they were, you know, they'd go over looking like Americans, and they'd come back looking like wild men, you know, or wild people, you know, just, you know, very, you know, natural in a way that we don't see natural. Their hair had all grown out, and they didn't shave anywhere, and they were, you know, dressed totally differently than when they left. And you know, it wasn't just the outer trappings. You knew that something inwardly had changed with them.
Yeah.
I was curious. Am I rambling too much? Do you want to say something?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So I was immensely curious and watching this phenomenon, and then his Osho. This was Rajneesh that they went over to see in India, and his meditation started infiltrating our consciousness growth center because they were so powerful. And the distinction that I want to make between the Living Love Institute and what was happening there is it was primarily mental. There was yoga and there were physical exercises, but there was nothing as powerful as the Rajneesh meditations to bring to clear the emotional energy through the body. And so it was taking the whole consciousness conversation to another level. And so I was very attracted to this as a hope, not only for my own personal healing, but for the healing of the entire planet. And, you know, Rajneesh was, you know, the other thing that, of course, he's famous for is that he was taking the lid off of sexual energy. And, you know, people were coming back more alive and you know, more free. And, you know, they were reevaluating all of their notions about, you know, monogamy and, you know, just so many things were being shaken up and shifted around. So I was watching all that, and it looked pretty intense and pretty dangerous. And then one year at Cornucopia, I hooked up with this wonderful guy from California, and we started a romantic lover relationship. And he was studying Osho, and he was a natural tantric. And he was the first man that I ever got together with who didn't want to orgasm. And actually got pissed off at himself when he did, you know, and it was like, whoa, what's that? And
yeah.
I loved making love with him, so it was fine with me. And the fact is that he was, you know, as he was taking sannyas, you know, everybody who takes sannyas wears red clothes. And so he was dyeing all of his clothes red in my washing machine, so my clothes would get red by default. I tell people that I became a sannyasin by default, you know.
Right. Wow. Well, in those years, they were wearing red. I thought they were wearing orange.
Actually, it really shifted. I think in the early days they were wearing orange, then it went to red, then it really expanded into maroon and pink and lavender. So you could almost get away with any shade. But we wore it right down to our underwear and our bathing suits and pajamas or whatever we were wearing. It went right down to the skin, you know.
Everything. Yeah. Well, now it's wine color and you can't, if you're too red and you're in the ashram, they say something to you.
If you wear red?
Yeah, if the red is too bright, if it's not wine color, someone comes up and says something to you.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I wish I was kidding about that. And when I'm in that ashram in India and someone comes up and says something to me, I tell them to get away from me.
Oh, they won't let you wear red?
No,
like,
it has
right,
to be,
like,
yeah, it has to be wine color now. Wine, it's just wine color.
Oh, isn't that funny?
It's so funny. People
so restrictive. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
superstition. Osho took the lid off of that. You know, I mean, he told people to drop the colors. I'm quite surprised they're doing that in the ashram now.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, anyway, continue. This is so great. I just want to backtrack for a minute because there were a couple of questions in the Ken Kai's part.
Sure.
Was that a commune that you lived on? Was it Kentucky, did you say?
Yes, it was in Kentucky. It was in it was actually in a Jesuit seminary, and it was gorgeous, gorgeous rolling hills. I don't know, have you ever been to Kentucky?
Yeah, I've passed through it.
Very beautiful, pastoral, wholesome kind of, part of the country.
Yeah.
And, very, very beautiful. And it was on quite a bit of acreage. I forget exactly how much now. And it was this big old, not so old, probably built in the 60s, Jesuit seminary that had been turned into a consciousness growth center. I wouldn't exactly call it a commune because it was a teaching center. And some people would live there, and then people would come in from all over the country and actually all over the world to do trainings. So, we'd have, anywhere from, the people who just lived in the house, which might be 20 or 30 people, to, 100, 150 people when, people were there for trainings.
Well, I just wanted to give people an idea of, when you say you were there, like what was there. And then the other part is really to exemplify that you're not just somebody who stumbled upon the path yesterday. You're somebody you've been seeking since this Vietnam incident. What year was that, the thing with your brother?
My brother, 1973.
Right. So since 1973, you took an oath. Or you made a commitment, you made a vow, whatever people want to call it, to bring love and peace to this planet.
Yeah. It was an internal, I can't say that I sat down and, but it was inside of me, this fire was burning. I said, this should never, my brother was I just want to tribute to him. He was a beautiful, sensitive being, and he was really too sensitive to be in the military. And, I adored him from the time I was, he was quite a bit older than me, and from the time I was a little girl, I just adored him. And it was just one of the most horrible experiences of my life to lose him in that way. And I just said, this has got to stop. This insanity on our planet has to stop. And the answer became so clear to me. It was in the evolution of consciousness. It wasn't going to be in politics. It wasn't going to be, from the priests. It was going to be, or from that, it wasn't going to be from organized religion. It was going to be from the consciousness of the people. And
right.
I knew that. It was so clear to me. And so I just set off. I mean, it was almost like the skies opened and the path was laid out for me. People were just, saying, here, go here. We'll give you the airline tickets. We'll pay for your training. Go here. And then it was go there and go there. And it just, I was on an escalator that I was just running. And all I had to do was keep on it. And I was heading in the direction I was supposed to be going. I don't know how it all happened kind of beyond me, really.
Yeah. I'm going to just share something with you that I didn't share when we met, which is in 1972, someone paid for me to go to the La Jolla Institute, the Carl Rogers program in La Jolla.
Uh-huh.
And I spent a good deal of time there, and then I spent time with Carl Rogers afterwards, the famous psychologist.
Uh-huh.
And that was so while you were in this one place doing the same thing, I was in this other place doing the same thing, kind of like around the same years.
Well, actually, my brother passed away in 73, but I was not able, I didn't start going until 77. That's
okay.
When my journey started. It took a few years for me to disengage from the life that, was holding me on the East Coast, and and that took a while. So it was a few, we're a few years off of each other, but similar,
Very, very similar. For the listeners, just so you know, I mean, Giovanna and I feel like, really, we feel like twins separated at birth. Like we met each other, and we had the same path and the same ideas about things, and like a little different training, a little different experiences, and some the same, but it's really quite amazing. Listen, we got to take a break for a minute, and when we come back, we're really going to talk about like your tantra practice and, some of the subtlety, some of the things that you are involved with. And then at the end, maybe we'll give people a little takeaway, some carry out from the cafe. So we'll be right back. If you are just tuning in to Tantra Cafe, my guest this evening is Giovanna, and you can call in at 888-228-4494 in the U.S. or Canada. You can call in from the rest of the world, 877-489-6350. We got to take a break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/tantracafe. Go there now. Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex? Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex? Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com. and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tantra Cafe. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. And if you just joined us, my guest this evening is Jivana Kennedy, and she is a mystic. She's a sannyasin. An Osho sannyasin. She's a tantra teacher who works with individuals for the most part, and she's an amazingly conscious being. And we're hearing a little bit about her life, and now we're going to hear some about her tantra and her tantra practices. So okay, Jivana. So you went to the, you know, you met this man. You had a tantric relationship with him. I know that you went to the ranch in Oregon. I forgot what town was that in?
It was called, the ranch was called Rajneeshpuram.
Oh, right, Rajneeshpuram, that's right.
Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Well, I didn't live there. I went there for celebrations spanning about 4 years, but I never actually lived there.
Okay. Great.
I lived in the expanded community around Laguna Beach, California. There was an ashram in Laguna Beach, and the sannyasins would, nobody lived exactly on the grounds of the sannyasins, but there were various commune houses around, you know, the general area. So I lived there for several years.
So
still in the Buddha field, you know, it was called the expanded, you know, Osho field was called the Buddha field, and I lived in the Buddha field.
Right, because Osho says that everybody is a Buddha. It's just a question of waking up to your Buddhahood.
Exactly, yeah.
So you woke up, and how, I mean, obviously you were on a path, you were committed, like from the time you were a little girl, you had an interest in sex, you had an interest in consciousness, you had an interest in something different than what was being handed to you by education, by religion, by, you know, whatever, your parents, any kind of thing.
Oh, completely, yeah.
So then you find Tantra and some of these other things. How have you changed, would you say? How has your life transformed?
Yeah, that's a huge question. I mean, there's so many ways along the way. I think that I understand the karmic predicament that we're in, and I think in a way that's a requirement for working with people the way that I do, is that each person really comes into this life with a kind of karmic predicament. We're the evolution of our ancestors, you know, and we don't come in as blank slates. We have our DNA is carrying information that causes us to have certain experiences and attract certain experiences. And, you know, there's when I was a little girl in Catholic school, and I you know, I was questioning even then, I had had mystical experiences before then, but I was questioning this, you know, good, bad morality thing, and I really came to the conclusion very young that everybody is essentially innocent. And, you know, that people get caught in these karmic predicaments, and, that's what they're working through in this lifetime. And
right.
So to have people, you know, presenting in my practice and to help them unravel, you know, some of that that tangled bit of karmic predicament is a real honor for me to be able to do.
Oh, that's so beautiful the way you put that, that it's an honor. It really is an honor and a privilege to be part of the mechanism that helps people get free.
It is. Oh, it is. It's a deep honor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have this understanding. I got that. But, I mean, if we were to say, there was a time when you were living a pretty straight life. You know, I don't mean straight like gay and straight. I mean straight like...
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, on the surface, it may have looked that way. Yes, I married the son of multimillionaires. I had a house on a couple of acres and a pine forest in New Jersey, and a Mercedes and a station wagon and a maid. You know, and
Wow.
And very, very young, and I went from that to being a homeless flower child.
You had the life my mother wanted me to have.
I had that was the life my mother wanted me to have. And I looked around and I said, now who did I do this for? Okay, boys, you're going to have to learn to make hamburgers because I've got a calling here. You know,
right,
I mean, I'm
right.
Being glib about that, but, you know, and it was... It was a very difficult choice to make at the time. I mean, it was excruciating, but it was like a soul calling, and I had to follow that. And there was some kind of, you know, I was just reading in Greg Braden's Divine Matrix that each of us gets dark nights of the soul, you know, several, not just one dark night of the soul, but several. And that period of time was one of my dark nights of the soul, where I had to make some very grueling choices, and that was what was happening, and I had the feeling that if I didn't make a really strong move to heal myself, that I would never be able to begin to reach my potential for happiness, my potential for creativity and self-expression, my potential for helping others. You know, I just felt like I would be, wrapped in rubber bands like a golf ball if I didn't, you know, really stretch out of that paradigm.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you have a set of practices that you do yourself? That you do by yourself, that we could say tantra.
At Cornucopia, the Consciousness Growth Center, Ken Kies, we had methods. They were called methods, and the one method that I shared on Friday night was the 12 pathways. And those have they've deeply integrated into my being. We memorize them, and I can call upon them, you know, as easily as I can call upon the alphabet. And then in the Osho journey, the movement meditation, I've also integrated that, and that's something that I can do. I do it on my walks in the morning. I do it, you know, whenever I'm feeling stuck. I mean, it's just really integrated into my life. But one of the things that that does for me, and when I say movement meditation, the thing that movement meditation does for me is it brings me fully into the present moment. so that I'm in this relationship with existence. And the relationship with existence is being mirrored back to me. And, I, you know, for instance, if I'm out walking in the desert and I move into that space where I'm fully present in my body, I can almost feel the cactuses and the life coming alive with me. And we're just dancing in the orgasm of existence.
Well, Osho has always said to be go so totally into the dance that
yeah.
the dancer is no more. So it sounds like you've integrated that practice into your daily life.
Exactly.
That's wonderful, really wonderful. So now if somebody came to you for a session, first of all, can they come for one session or do you book a bunch of sessions? You know, because obviously there are people who call themselves tantric guides or whatever, and we know, you and I both know that they're mostly having sex with their clients. So you're not doing that. You're actually having a whole experience with these people, a transformational experience. So like someone comes and do they book one session? Do they book multiple sessions? And then what might happen?
Okay. When, you know, it's different for each person. I mean, Osho, you know, was so big on responding to life as life comes to you in the moment. So I put down a little bit of structure. In other words, people can come for an hour, they can come for an hour and a half, they can come for 2 hours, or they can come for a 10-hour series. But I'm also open to any other form that it wants to take. If somebody
right.
wants to do a half a day with me to get some really deep transformation going, I'll do that. If somebody wants, you know, some people come once and they really don't know what it is, but they've heard about Tantra, or they've heard about me, and they're curious, and they want to have a sense of it. You know, I don't know how much of a sense anybody can get in an hour. They can get the touch if they're coming for the, you know, for the touch part of a session. They'll feel, you know, people report that the touch feels different than anything they've ever felt in their life, and I hear that on a regular basis.
Sure.
Because I'm really not touching muscles and joints and tendons. I'm touching soul energy, soul spirit energy, and helping
right.
remove energetic blocks. I make it very clear that I don't have sex with my clients, and I have very, very strong, reasons and beliefs about that. And, you know, that's not to say that if it were absolutely appropriate for something like that to happen, that I would, you know, that it's etched in stone that it wouldn't, but it never has, and I can't really imagine the circumstances where it would. But I'm not obliged to live by any laws of professional psychotherapy or any of that, because I don't have I don't have any, but, you know, I tell people I'm blissfully unaffiliated.
I've done the same thing. I didn't want any of those restrictions and those licensing things and those.
Right.
You know, a lot of my clients have been psychiatrists and psychologists, and you know they love the work and they say, "Wow, you get people move so quickly through their stuff when they're in this work." And then I say, "Well, you should refer all your clients," and they go, "I can't."
Right. Right.
Because
right.
if they referred their clients and anything were to happen, they would get sued and, or, you know, disbarred or whatever it is in the psychiatrist world. You know, they'd get disbarred from their professional affiliation.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, so almost anything could happen.
Well, it, you know, it doesn't. You know, I mean, it could, but it doesn't, because there are some very standard things that people, first of all, when somebody walks in my door, I get a read on their energy. And what's happening across the board with most people these days is a kind of energetic disempowerment. People have given their power away to government, given their power away to religion, given their power away to social, you know, forms that don't quite fit them, given their power away to relationships. So the majority of people are energetically disempowered, and what I have to do fairly quickly is read they don't even know that. You know how the fish in the sea isn't thirsty? You know, they
right.
don't know exactly where this disempowerment, they don't even know that there's anything else, you know. They're just
right.
living in this kind of disempowerment. So I hold that, and then I see, you know, I see how open their heart is, or how open, you know, how open they are energetically. So I get this whole read on a person. Now, what I assume is that most people need the kind of nurturing that we didn't get as children and we didn't get from our romantic relationships. Most people have never been touched as much as people need to be touched.
Right.
And so it's very, very, you know, it's a no-brainer to know that people need nurture. And plus, you know, we live in a, you know, world that's a stressful world. So it's a no-brainer to know that people need touch. Now, the thing that's really, you know, unique and makes total sense to me about tantric healing is that you're not cutting the people off at the genitals. You know what I mean? You know, you're able to include genital touch. You're able to include moving that energy and have it be a totally, you know, therapeutic experience. We're moving energy. We're moving
right.
energetic blockages. You know, it's not about, you know, you coming on to me or me coming on to you or any of that social stuff.
And it's also not about like a massage, where a massage therapist can only go a certain way, and another licensing board tells the massage
right.
therapist that they can only touch you here and here and like this, but not like that.
Right, and you know, you have to be draped, and you know, it's almost, you know, the massage world in the West really mirrors our puritanical, you know, sex negative culture. And you know, that's really tying people in knots, because we're wanting to experience life in all of its beauty and exhilaration and, you know, just, you know, the wonder. I mean, sometimes in the morning, you know, before the sun comes up, I go out on my patio naked just to feel the breeze on my naked skin. And we yearn for that kind of freedom
right.
and that kind of feeling of being totally alive, you know?
Right, and it gets taken away from us. We're not allowed to have that in this
yeah.
world. You know, it's just, that becomes pornography.
Yeah, you know,
the translation.
It's sex negative, yeah, really, yeah.
Right, so it sounds wonderful. It just sounds delightful. Now, we're going to take another break in a minute, but just before we do, I'd like to ask you, you know, something that maybe a client has said to you in a way that, some way that you worked with them changed their life.
Oh, I do. I got a testimonial last week it touched me so deeply. This man was in the first session of his second 10-hour series. And he said, you know, I have to tell you that I'm learning the most important thing I've ever learned in my life. This is a middle-aged man. He's been making love for decades. He has a wife that he makes that he has sex with on a regular basis. And he said, being with you has taught me the power of presencing and connecting without a sexual agenda. And I feel a oneness with you like I've never felt with anyone else in my life. And
wow.
I have my, you know, I mean, yes, he does. I have gotten into a position with him where I was teaching him massage, so he would massage me, but with absolutely no sexual agenda.
Wow, it's beautiful. When two people can come together like that, a man and a woman, especially if there's some common ground and some attraction even, and
uh-huh.
to just be able to give and be present, what a gift.
Yeah, I mean, I really have a very strong feeling that in this particular time of our evolution, men and women there's a need for them to become one another's healers and put down the predatory expectation of sexuality and just find out from each other, what do you really need? What do you really need from me?
Wow, well, on that note, we're going to stop and take a break, short commercial break, If you've just joined us, that you're listening to Tantra Cafe, I'm Laurie Handlers, and my guest today is Giovanna, and you can reach her at tantrichealingtouch.com. That's tantrichealingtouch.com. We'll repeat it again. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back with you.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Tantra Cafe. I'm your host, Laurie Handlers. You're listening to bbsradio.com, and that piece of music that you just heard is called The Erotic Mystics. I played that in honor of my guest, Giovanna, who is an erotic mystic. And that piece of music is by Govinda on the Entwined and Enhanced CD, and I often use that in my trance dances. So Govinda's wonderful music for trance dancing, in case you're wondering, in case you want some titles. Anyway, I'm back with Giovanna, and she and I have had a kind of laugh about, we've been talking about, what's our philosophy, how is it different from other tantric things or other things out there today that people are talking about. And one of the things that we talked about her sharing is, what do you think about the Oprah and the Dr. Phil perspectives on cheating and adultery? That's kind of a far-out question, but, let's go with it. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that what you would get from Oprah, what you would get from Dr. Phil, and what you would get from a mainstream psychologist would be to find a way to conform to the mores of society, but all of that is breaking down now. And this is a really delicate conversation because human beings have been for so long tyrannized by the wound of betrayal. And what that brings up in almost everyone would, if my beloved were to leave me or were to go be with another and have this deep, intimate experience that he's had with me, then I would cease to exist, or something almost energetically as dramatic.
Right.
And I think we have been tyrannized by that, and I don't think that's been in the service of love blossoming on this planet. And I'm not saying that I am voting for non-monogamy or open relationship or polyamory. It's not exactly like that. I think monogamy is a very high spiritual sadhana, but I think that most people are not ready for that spiritual sadhana, and the expectation to conform to that has killed love, has been detrimental to love, shall we say. Maybe killed is a little bit too exaggerated, but in some cases it has, because, I think in our natural state, we would be so awed by the beauty and the wonder and the creativity and the just excitement of one another that we'd all be hugging and kissing and who knows what with each other if we weren't, tied up like golf balls, rubber bands in the inside of a golf ball. But
right.
We're all so, we're really so terrified of cutting loose of those paradigms, because they're very deeply woven into our history as it comes to us through our DNA. And so
right.
we are in a transition with all of those things. And that was really breaking down strongly in the experiment in India, in the Rajneesh ashrams. And do I have time to tell you a little short story about
that? Sure.
There was this wonderful, when I met him, he was the minister of the Rajneesh ashram in Laguna Beach. And his name was Amitabh. And Amitabh is a beautiful man. He had been a psychologist before before he came into the ashram. And Amitabh had been with, I'm going to forget her name now, but been with this wonderful woman for years and years, and, deep lovers and all of that. And all of a sudden, she took up with another sannyasin, another man, and they were having this, really, delicious love affair. And Amitabh asked Osho, "What should I do? I'm in so much pain. I can't stand it." And Osho said, "Well, Amitabh, what I really recommend that you do is go live in the room next to them and listen to their moans, listen to their screams, listen to their pleasure until you're cleansed."
So, did he do it?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And he got free.
Yeah, I know. Osho always said, go into it. Go as deeply into whatever it is. Come through the pain. The three things I remember him saying are, go so totally into your fear that you come out the other side. What was it? Well, I'll think of it in a minute. Go so totally into your anger that you come out the other side love. And go so totally into something else that you come out in heaven, samadhi. There are three things. Well, whatever it is, the things that, the things that plague us. He would always say, go into that stuff, fear, anger, grief, whatever it is, and come out the other side instead of trying to avoid it or fix it.
Yeah, and that's very, very tantric. That's allowing the depth of your experience to move through. And if there were one thing that I would give to the listeners, it's to say, find a place where you don't have to be afraid of your emotions and go deep with them to really the self-awareness that will come out of that when you let yourself feel what you feel will be so worth it. We're in a culture where we're trained to be afraid of our deepest, darkest pain.
Right.
And yet the liberation that's on the other side of that is so worth going into it and going through it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, on that note, we're gonna need to end. I want to tell people how to get in touch with you. Your website is tantric, TANTRIC healingtouch.com, and you can find out more about Jivana there. You can email her JivanaK@AOL.com if you want more information. You can always write to me about any of my shows or any of my guests at Laurie@butterflyworkshops.com, and I will get back to you with any information that I can about myself or my guests. I hope that you all have listened keenly to this, because really what Jivana stands for and what the work stands for that she's describing has to do with becoming free. And that's really, to me, that's the greatest gift that you could find on this planet, like getting free of whatever it is that binds you, holds you, keeps you chained in jail, what have you. So, Jivana, thank you so very much for being my guest this evening, and thanks for showing up in my life.
Oh, thank you, Lori. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, what a pleasure, really. And so to everybody out there in listener land, I say to you, namaste from Tantra Cafe. See you next time.